This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast, and I have returned. Tim is back to steer the ship along with me. This week, it's just Tyler. Kelly's out of town. So, Tyler, how are you doing, buddy? It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, I felt like you're going to leave us. I just felt like you're going to, put us on the front step and walk away.
No, yeah. I had to. See, I actually want to kind of defend myself. 2 weeks ago, I couldn't make it. You guys made fun of the van. I don't have a van. The wife has a van. We got a bunch of kids.
Always
a bunch of nieces and nephews. The wife got a van. Starter went out in it. So I was under the van replacing the starters. It was a whole, but that was her Mother's Day present, a new starter in the van. And then last week I had some more family stuff to attend to. But finally I'm back. You guys had two great episodes without me. So honestly, I was a little worried myself. But we have two great guests on. We have two great guests on this week. We have Ben Cummings and Dynasty Frank. So Ben, how are you, sir? We'll let you go first.
I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, we've had a nice long warm up here due to some technical difficulties, so we should be ready to rock and roll. Dynasty Frank,
when you're living going in a van down by the river.
Sorry, every time I heard van, I'm like, what is going on?
In a van down by. That's a great sketch. God, I miss Marla.
Here's you. Here's me. There's you. There's me. When you're living in a van.
Sorry. Little boy, what do you want to do when you grow up?
I miss him so much.
I know. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, it's your second time back. Last time we did an episode with you was another hot take episode. I feel like you're the king of hot takes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I brought Ben on because, he's a fellow writer when I used to write for the Footballers, and he's now with you with the Fantasy Authority. What do you guys talk about, what you guys do there? Give everybody kind of a glimpse of what they can expect from you.
Oh, well, Frank, you want to talk about your writing on the website now, right?
Yes, I only had two articles, air quotes, articles on the Fantasy Authority. Ben and the other guys do most of the writing. You guys kill it with the rankings. I put some rankings up there as well. We did some podcasts, but the Fantasy Authority is just killing it.
Yeah, they're doing great stuff. I haven't actually written anything for them, but I joined the Fantasy Authority podcast with Ryan and Anthony and Kev. And then Frank's done a lot of stuff with us this offseason. So those are on YouTube or anywhere where you can get podcasts. So go check those out. But they asked me to do that towards the end of last season. And I've been loving joining them ever since. So, and then, yeah, like Frank said, they're putting out a lot of good content on the website as well.
Yeah, I got to say, the Fantasy Authority signed Frank. There had to be some collusion because I didn't even know he was on the free agent market. Because I feel like Dynasty Happy Hour, he was a Dynasty Happy Hour type guy. But then I feel like there was something like recruiting process. What did you pay for him?
Because I got paid.
Man. Yeah. You'd have to ask Kev.
Checks in the mail, Frank.
Still in the mail. You have to ask Kev because Kev swooped in and landed him, man. I don't know what he did, but he seems to be a good recruiter because, he landed me too. So.
I feel like there's some Baylor type things going on here.
Oh, he took it to me. well, if there was, we obviously wouldn't tell you.
Well, obviously.
I got brand new tattoos. I'm getting new tattoos, though.
New cars in the driveway.
New cars, yeah.
As you guys will probably notice, when I'm not giving a take, I'm not going to be saying much because when it's not a play that they're going to throw me the ball, I don't even block. I just kind of stand there.
Total Baylor.
Yeah, and you only have like three takes in your tree, right?
Right, that's about it. That's why I'm going to go undrafted, man. It's terrible.
Yeah,
as long as you do well at the combine, I'm sure you'll be a late round pick.
Oh, appreciate that, Tim.
But we are gonna have a hot take episode, and that's why we brought these guys on. Both of them very good with the hot takes. Tyler and I are gonna try our best to keep pace. But before we get into that, I want to talk about our sponsor. The Sitter Start app is the premium app for all your Sitter Start questions. Obviously, this is an in-season type app, but not always. They have news and notes. So download now, keep up to date with all your players' news and notes on the Sit or Start app. And then come August, September, October, November, and hopefully you're playing deep into December, you have them to help you with all those lineup questions. The Sit or Start app available on the Google Play and the Apple Store. Go check it out now. So with that being said, let's move into some hot takes. So Tyler, you invited everybody here today. You wanted to do the hot takes. So why don't you get us kicked off, buddy? Let's start off just like lukewarm.
I don't know. I really want to light this place on fire.
You want to throw it right in the oven? Let's go.
I don't want the cops coming after me or anything, but my first one is going to blow minds, and that is John Ross is going to be the best wide receiver out of this class.
Wow.
And it is going to come with about 60 catches, 993 yards, and 7 to 9 touchdowns.
So that's just for this season.
That is just this season.
The best rookie of the
year. But a little taste of what's coming next. He won't be rookie of the year with those numbers.
Ooh. Okay.
Because my guy's going to be the rookie of the year.
Yeah, with how many touchdowns?
At least 40.
But that's my last take. I just think people are sleeping on him. He was picked 9th overall. It's not like the Bengals are like, we're going to take him this early and we're just going to sit him. We're going to
Here's my question, Tyler. How many times are the Bengals going to throw the ball if he's going to have that many catches?
Well, I mean, there is a player that is going to take some rushes and receptions away from everybody. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to ruin it. But he's very good as well. But he was not the first player taken from the Cincinnati Bengals rookie draft. It was John Ross, 9th overall. They're going to use him. He's not just a one-trick pony. He is kind of a T.Y. Hilton build. He just needs to stay healthy. And that's the only issue I have with John Ross is his health, is being healthy. And from what I've seen from the Bengals, they are going to try to be a very explosive offense. And honestly, I wouldn't doubt if this actually happens. I wouldn't doubt if John Ross is a very good receiver year one.
Yeah, I was on the fence. I was telling the guys earlier. I was like, I have John Ross will be question mark. Like, he's a question mark for me. But with across from AJ Green, you got Tyler Eifert drawing coverage. John Ross can very well be the number one wide receiver rookie in this class.
Yeah, I like it. My question for you, Tyler, is do you see him being pretty consistent this year, or do you see it being more boom bust? Obviously, with his speed, you know, that's kind of what people think of. Do you see him being more consistent or boom bust?
I think it's boom bust, and like same lines of Julio Jones. No, I'm kidding.
We're in the chat.
That was perfect. That was perfect timing. Yeah.
As soon as I heard boom bust, I cracked a smile.
I saw it. Set him up. I had to ask because that correlates kind of with my first take, because I also wanted to talk about John Ross. And you guys know, well, you might, but some definitely do. I'm very big into the NFL DFS. Frank knows.
Yes.
Absolutely. And there's this contest every week on DraftKings. Don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's the Millie Maker, where first place wins $1 million. So along with that boom bust thinking with John Ross's speed, I think he's going to win. John Ross, that is, 5 different people $1 million this season.
Wow.
I like that because, like, he's going to have 2 weeks where it's like 150 plus yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, I just feel like there's going to be those 2 weeks. And
I like it.
He's going to go nuts.
He's definitely going to have a few huge weeks for sure. And then, a couple more, obviously, with what I'm saying. So,
yep. He just, I know Andy Dalton doesn't have the arm, quote unquote, but really there's only probably about 4 quarterbacks in the league right now that can actually throw the ball when John Ross is open running downfield and hit him in stride. Like there's probably only like a good 4 quarterbacks in the league. So, I mean, you got Joe Flacco, Cam Newton, Rodgers.
Rodgers for sure.
And
Stafford. Stafford's got a cannon.
But yeah, I mean, you need a huge arm to hit this guy in stride. But I don't think he's going to score all of his touchdowns on 9 routes. I think there's going to be a screen or two.
Mm-hmm.
Will Fuller had one on a crossing route early in the year, so I could see that happening. like Ben said, AJ Green on one side. You got Eifert if he can ever stay healthy. God, please stay healthy, Eifert. But yeah, I mean,
Brandon LaFell had 107 targets last year.
So Brandon LaFell kind of won me a dynasty championship. So
no, listen, Brandon LaFell was a sneaky wide receiver three last year that helped win some games. But if you have you just transfer 107 targets to a Ross, you know, God knows what he can do with that.
I didn't quite hear Ben that he was tooting a horn or something. It was way too loud. I mean that whole you're tooting a really loud horn.
Oh my bad. Am I clicking my pen? My bad. LaFell was solid last year for me, and like Frank said, I would think that John Ross is going to usurp him pretty quickly, and that's why I think he's going to be boom bust because there's still the targets to go to AJ Green, Tyler Eifert, some rookie running back that nobody knows what his name is, so we won't spoil that. Gio will probably be there.
Never heard of him.
And LaFell will probably get a couple, and Tyler Boyd's there too. So there's a lot to work with, which is why I think I agree with Tyler that he's not going to be consistent, but. I also agree with Tyler again. Oh, this is terrible. That there's different ways that he can win. And yeah, I mean, I can see him taking a quick slant to the house like we see OBJ do like five times a year. And Andy Dalton, he might not have the best arm, but he's a good quarterback. He's an underrated quarterback, and he'll be able to get it to John Ross. So there's multiple ways that Ross can win and have huge plays and have blow up games. And I see him having about five of them.
All right, Frank, what do you got for us, man?
Well, we're going to stay with Cincinnati here. I think Joe Mixon will lead all rookie running backs in total points scored. If you just look at what Jeremy Hill did last year, I mean, it's just we're talking Jeremy Hill too. Like Jeremy Hill, he's horrible. And his 222 attempts, he had 839 yards and 9 touchdowns. And that's Jeremy freaking Hill.
That's Jeremy Hill, everybody.
That's Jeremy Hill. Guys, seriously. So this is Joe Mixon, I think, he's going to totally eclipse 1,000 yards. 50 touchdowns.
That's it?
No, wow, like, I can see 9 touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, totally see that. I love Joe Mixon. I don't know. Giovanni Bernard – if his ACL comes back and he's not injured, he is going to take, he's going to take some of the receptions away from him. But I think Joe Mixon's a 3-down back. I mean, so does everybody, really. He's a 3-down back that doesn't have to come off the field. So I'm all in with Joe Mixon. All in.
Honestly, I like that one, Frank. I'm real close to the same thing there on Joe Mixon. I don't think I have the touchdowns nearly as high, but I put him in at like 6 to 7. No. For the touchdowns, but I think 1,000 yards is an easy target for him.
Right.
1,300 yards could be doable as well. I fully believe that. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how he's going to do so well and Ross, but hey, maybe Cincinnati's just going to be that Atlanta offense of last year somehow.
Because I mean, John Ross is the Julio boom bust, of course.
Of course.
No, okay. I like it. The major question was draft capital. He goes in the second round, which is the best you could have asked for. And not only that, he goes to the team that has shown they do not care about off the field issues at all. You add that amazing landing spot to his talent, and yeah, I think he's basically the starter from day one. I shouldn't say basically. I think he is the starter from day one, and I think those numbers are pretty attainable. Yeah, I mean, it will depend on how much Jeremy Hill does play, because I do agree that as long as Gio Bernard's knee, you know, heals, we saw what happened to Jamaal Charles last year. As long as it does heal and he's out there on the field, he's going to take some catches away. And it will depend on how much playing time Jeremy Hill eats into. But I think the second round pick shows pretty clearly that the coaching staff is pretty sick of lackluster Jeremy Hill the last couple years out there. And like Frank said, he was still productive, even though he really wasn't doing anything great other than when he played against the Cleveland Browns, of course. So I think he'll still be a part of the rotation, but you're going to see him take a backseat pretty quickly to Mixon. And so getting over 1,000 total yards should be pretty easy to get.
Plus on the bright side, you got two great mentors in Vontaze Burfict and
Adam Pagnin-Jones. Yeah, the best. Yeah. The best.
I mean, they're going to steer him right.
Yeah,
there's no way he's getting into trouble with those two helping him out.
I love that.
Oh, my. Okay, so my first one is also running back. I have Samaje Perine will lead all rookie running backs in rushing touchdowns. I think he's the big body. I mean, they got Fat Rob. Matt Jones is a big kid too. But Samaje Perine is going to be at least, at very bare minimum, the goal line back for the Washington Redskins. They will march up and down the field, and they will punch in touchdowns using Samaje Perine next year. I have Samaje Perine. I have him scoring 9 touchdowns and leading the rookie running backs in rushing touchdowns.
I love it, Tim. Apparently, I have no original hot takes myself because I want to talk about Perine too, and I want to take it like a step further. I love it. I think he takes over in the middle of week 3 for Rob Kelly, who is
an uninspired.
Yeah, I'm calling the week. Uninspiring prospect. Rob Kelly was a beneficiary of just a wide open depth chart last year because they hated Matt Jones. He's fine, but that's it. I think Samaje better than that. I think he takes over in the middle of week 3, is the full-time starter come week 4, never gives it up. And we have a similar to a Jordan Howard situation. And I think Samaje Perine not only finishes as the best rookie running back, but he finishes as a top 10 fantasy running back this year.
Whoa. My pants are on fire.
Let's get hot, baby.
Overall. All right. I like it.
Frank, I got a question for you. Matt Jones or Jeremy Hill?
Oh, my God.
That's gross.
Why? A kicker.
Got it. Roberto Aguayo.
Roberto Aguayo, right?
Totally. In the second. Makes sense.
You trade up, though, right?
Of course. You jump ahead of
to get that kicker.
The New England Patriots who have Gostkowski, I guess, to trade up to get a kicker, right? Didn't they trade – whatever, Tampa Bay.
I don't know who they traded up over.
I think they jumped New England.
The fact they traded up is worse.
I think Frank's right. I think they did jump New England.
Like, New England's going to draft a kicker in the second round, let alone a kicker. I mean, they got Gostkowski. He's like one of the best kickers ever. Oh, but whatever. Neither. I don't want any one of them. But did anybody hear what's going on with Keith Marshall? Is he still on the team? I know everybody loved him, but he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, he's still on the team. Apparently, he and Pryor are the two fastest individuals there. He's a guy that
I'm late round,
very free, or like I can give up a fourth round pick for him to somebody that held him all last year. Yeah. I'll take him and just stash him because.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick him up everywhere just in case. I mean, you know,
I just dropped him in a league, so he's probably just going to go off.
What round did the Redskins draft him last year? It was late, wasn't it?
6th or 7th?
Yeah, because he's dealing with injuries still. I mean, Chris Thompson, I liked him too, man. I think it's I don't know. Matt Jones, I think they want him out. Like, they're trying to trade him, and he's not happy. Well,
nobody on that roster does what Chris Thompson does. I think the closest guy that would be on that team would be a Keith Marshall,
right?
And then everybody else. Matt Jones is a big-bodied kid. Fat Rob. And then Samaje Perine. They're all big guys. Keith Marshall's a smaller guy, but still runs with good power. He's got great speed.
Yeah.
Just can he stop being injured?
Yeah.
Matt Jones' opportunity was last year, so I'm not worried about him at all.
He fumbled that away. Yep. Literally.
Yep. I mean, he was inactive for the majority of the year, so I'm not worried about him. Keith Marshall missed the entire season last year, was a late-round pick, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but he had a ton of injuries in college too. So
I'm
really not worried about him. Yeah. Chris Thompson is essentially, in a way, the James White of Washington, and he will continue to be that. So, you know, I don't see Perine catching a ton of passes, and I think Howard last year with Chicago, you know, he didn't catch a ton either, but he was involved probably a little bit more than Perine
like
will
28
be.
Or something like that.
Yeah, but I do agree with Tim that the touchdown upside is there for Perine if he takes the job, which I think he does.
Yep. All right, I'm gonna hit you guys with my next hot take.
Go for it, bro.
And I think everybody kind of knows this hot take, and it's Delvin Cook is going to rush for about 1,200 yards.
Oh, love it.
8 touchdowns. He will catch over 50 balls for 600 yards and have 5 touchdowns receiving, but still doesn't win rookie of the year. I still got somebody else.
Man, I want to hear this. Whoever this is, I want to hear this stat line.
So if I heard that correctly, if my math is right, that's 1,800 total yards for a guy in a committee on a team with a horrible offensive line.
Have you seen Latavius Murray run? He's still running from last year.
Yeah. He's terrible, but the coaching staff also played Matt Asiata last year, so
Yeah, who got signed by Lion. So obviously he's talented.
Okay.
No, I think with Latavius, oh God, I just hate even saying his name. No, he's so bad.
Latavius.
Yeah, he's terrible.
And I the worst part about it is when you have somebody, you're talking bad about Latavius. Well, he ran a 4.3 something in the combine. You know how long ago that was? Like that was like
exactly
4 or 5 years ago
on the field.
Right now, the only thing that combine only goes for rookies right now. That's it. Because if you've been in the league for at least a year, 2 years, your 40 time means nothing. I don't care what your wingspan is. It means nothing. Did you, are you contributing to the team? Do the team like Adam Thielen? I love Adam Thielen. Can anybody remember his combine? Was he even in the combine? No, but do I want him on my team? Yes. So if you got people like, you know, Julio Jones ran a 4 something, that, you know, like who cares? He's been in the league and he's a
bust guy.
Well, the combine is the first comparable that these rookies have to everyone else that's been in the NFL, because college teams don't maintain the same rosters. So who Julio played back in college isn't who Josh Reynolds and these other receivers have played in their college careers. So Julio went to the combine. Now Cooper Kupp is going to the combine. We have numbers to compare.
Once
these guys are on the field,
they're essentially the same player. Right?
Yeah. I'm grabbing two names.
No, I know.
So once they're both on the field, I mean, they're pretty close. I mean, I got them like 45 and 46 in my ranks. But once they're both on an NFL field, that's what we compare at that point. And these combine numbers don't mean anything anymore.
That's why I actually had him at 8 touchdowns, because I do think Latavius will take touchdowns away. I do think they will use him. I think the reason why they signed him is because, honest to God, I don't think they thought Dalvin Cook would be there at 41.
Yeah, it was a contingency plan, just in case.
And honestly, I think Latavius is gone after this year. I think Dalvin Cook will take the job, no problem. And this whole entire Jerick McKinnon buzz, yeah, that...
No, they tried that last year. It's not working, so...
That dream is dead.
Don't do this to me.
that dream.
You want to talk about his combine numbers?
Oh, my God.
I would love to. What you guys are saying is... I like to look at combine numbers even if they're not a rookie, because it's a piece of the puzzle. But like you're saying, you have to take those essentially with a grain of salt because they've been in the league. You have to see what they've been doing on film. And I mean, I think at this point, my grandma's probably more elusive on the field than Latavius Murray. So I certainly understand, the way you're looking at it, Tyler. And honestly, I hope that's the way it goes, but I tend to lean more towards the JJ Zacharyson thought process where, yeah, we know Latavius Murray isn't good, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's just not going to play. And now I do completely agree with you that when they signed him, they didn't know if they were going to have a chance to get one of these stud running backs, because how can you know that? The draft's coming up in a couple months. You're going to protect yourself in case the way the draft dominoes fall, you're left without any other options. And then they kind of lucked into Dalvin Cook in the second round, if you want to look at it that way. So I totally agree. I just don't know. This is one of those where I disagree because I see it being a committee in year one. I see the offense not being a super dynamic offense. And you know, we've talked about it on the Fantasy Authority before. The offensive line wasn't good at all last year, and they really did nothing to upgrade it. Mm-hmm. But I'm also somebody that wasn't a huge fan of Dalvin Cook coming into the draft. And I know there's a lot of people that like him more than me, and I could certainly be wrong. And so it's certainly possible. I'm just not super excited about it.
Yeah, and the only issue I have is if Zimmer can't see the difference literally between Murray and Cook being good, like that's going to suck because he doesn't have one working eye at the moment. And
oh, no. You know,
Cook could be playing well. Cook could be playing well on one side.
Oh, no.
And Murray could be like on this good eye and he'd be like, oh, Murray looks good. But Cook's over on this other side where
he's on the bad side. Catch you one hand grab. Just Dalvin Cook sucks.
And everybody's like, did you see that Dalvin Cook catch? He's like, no. No, I missed
who?
Yeah.
That's amazing. No, and I will say real quick, because I have liked Jerick McKinnon and I've wanted it to happen. And I do think that he, you know, was relevant down the stretch last year. But maybe we're comparing two situations that aren't that similar, because we're sitting here saying Matt Asiag got a ton of playing time over Jerick McKinnon. And we're sitting here saying, as a fantasy community, a lot, me included, that we think McKinnon's better and he should have got playing time. But maybe the coaching staff just didn't see that. You know, he didn't really play running back that much in college. And maybe, you know, them taking Dalvin Cook in the second round, this is a different situation where they're not going to sit Cook on the bench the way they sat McKinnon on the bench, because completely different prospects, even right. though we loved McKinnon's numbers, look at Dalvin Cook's production in college. And so maybe because of that, the draft capital and what he did in college, he gets playing time quicker, unseats Latavius Murray, and becomes the starter and becomes a fantasy difference maker. But I'm leaning more towards the I'll believe when I see it.
All right, that's fair.
All right, Ben, you got one?
Yeah, let's go with the tight end here. You know, there's been a lot of talk about this tight end class, and I have been on record saying I think the main reason why it's talked about as being so good is because of the top dog in these rankings, at least for me, and it's OJ Howard. And I don't want to talk about just this year. I want to take a macro level hot take, and I want to say that when it's all said and done, OJ Howard goes down as a top five tight end all time. Statistically.
Wow. Hall of Famer.
Yes. Yes.
Jordan Howard's a Hall of Famer.
I'm calling it right now. This is a hot take show, right?
Start sizing him up.
This is a hot take show, right? I'm calling it right now. There is nothing this dude cannot do. He's a phenomenal blocker. And look at I've gone on this rant before, but let me do it again real quick. We all want to find the next Jordan Reed, right? Jordan Reed's situation a couple years ago was so unique. Both the other tight ends on the team went on injured reserve before the season. DeSean Jackson missed half the season. Love Pierre Garçon, but he's not, you know, a prototypical beast wide receiver one. That was Jamison Crowder's rookie year. Kirk Cousins' first full year as the starter, I believe. It worked out for him being the number one option on the team pretty much by far. And he stayed healthy and it was perfect. But there's so many more stud tight ends in fantasy. Jason Witten, Tony Gonzalez, Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, you name it. These guys that are versatile, that can block, that can line up out wide. And I think we are boxing in OJ Howard because he's such a good blocker. Our minds just go to that and we think he's not a sexy fantasy option. And yeah, I get it. Camera breaks there. So maybe he's not a stud in year one. But that's why I'm taking a long-term approach. This dude can line up out wide like Rob Gronkowski can. He can block like a beast out wide. He can block. And I've talked about his blocking a lot, and there's a ton of people that will tell you, well, you're not going to score fantasy points blocking. But to me, that allows the offensive coordinator to be so versatile with his play calling, hit him with play action, and OJ Howard can be the number one option on that play. And so he never has to leave the field. And that's the biggest thing for me when we talk about tight ends transitioning to the next level is a lot of times it doesn't happen right away because they're not in the field, because they're right. still learning the position. I think, yeah, camera breaks there, so maybe OJ Howard's snap percentage isn't super high in year one, but I think he still sees a ton of playing time. And then by year two, and especially year three, this is like a Greg Olsen type where he literally never leaves the field and he's a stud. I don't want to hear he didn't produce in college, because last year he was playing with a quarterback that was a horrible passer. Okay. And it was a system where they didn't need him because it's freaking Alabama. Yep. So I think this is a guy that takes it to he takes the next step in the NFL. He's a beast. There's nothing he can't do. And he finishes as a top five all time statistical tight end.
Wow.
There's a vine of him in rookie minicamp where he was sprinting towards the sideline, caught an out, and stopped to the point where my knees would just break. Like I would just
I'd buckle up.
And
both your feet literally stopped straight through your kneecaps.
Pretty much. Yeah. And he just stopped
right there with you,
right man. On the sideline, just stopped at full speed and then started sprinting. I'm like, no, that's not possible. He can't do that.
He's so athletic.
Aren't worried about the competition for targets. I mean, they have a lot of mouths to feed.
Well, Chris Godwin.
Here we go.
Evans.
Love Chris Godwin.
My next hot take was going to center around OJ Howard as well. So I'll just throw that out here real quick.
Get it.
Three: Evan Engram, David Njoku, OJ Howard. I have OJ Howard this year as the bottom of the top.
Me too.
Big three. Okay.
I do too.
Okay.
And it is specifically based around that same thing.
I have Njoku being the number one scoring tight end this year.
As do I.
Rookie.
He highlighted.
Well, I think I'm there. I think I'm there with Njoku.
Elsewhere, other than Njoku in Cleveland, and down there in Tampa Bay, they still like Cameron Brate. He did very well for them last year. I have no doubts that OJ Howard will blow by Cameron Brate at some point this year, very quickly. But, you know, they got Evans. They signed DeSean Jackson. They have, I don't know, what, 7, 8 running backs that they, you know, want to feed the ball somehow.
They got a Goatwin back there.
Yeah. They got, you know, they picked up Godwin as well. Yeah. Goatwin. So I love OJ Howard long term. I don't know if I'm going to call for the gold jacket yet, but I love him long term. But I think this year, out of the big three, he is number three on that list when it comes
to. I don't hate that. My question to you is this: would you say that he has more competition for targets this season than Evan Engram does? Because I personally think Engram has more competition than Howard.
I think Engram does, yeah.
I think Engram is in a very crowded place for targets as well.
I think Engram is going to be the fourth option on that offense and in that passing offense.
Here's my positionally, he has bigger competition with Brate than Engram does with Will Tye.
I agree with that.
Of course, yeah,
I think I agree with that.
And I kind of like Tye.
I do think that Cameron Brate, that a lot of what he did last year is similar to what I said about Rob Kelly. It was opportunity based because ASJ literally drank his way out of town. So he was the guy. And like you said, I think OJ Howard passes him very quickly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I just freaking called him a Hall of Fame tight end. But but as much as I want OJ Howard to be the guy because I freaking love him, Cameron Brate is still going to be on the field. He'll be relevant this year. I don't think he's going to be a fantasy option because they're going to eat into each other, but that goes for OJ Howard as well. Yeah. So I don't hate that. But at the end of the day, Evan Engram has to get on the field first. Yeah. So it's tough, but I agree with you that he'll probably surpass Ty easier than Howard does.
Oh, they already there's tape from there's video from camp, from the Giants camp, and they got Evan Engram doing everything. I mean, he's I think installed. Like, it's gonna be their 11 package.
How's that Wayne Gallman?
I can't wait. I didn't see it.
I'm kidding. There's none.
There's nothing of them. There's nothing of them.
There's nothing.
Right. Well, I think Njoku's gonna be. It's gonna score more. I guess this will be a hot take. Fuck it. Screw it. So
all of it.
Let's go.
Let's be this hot take. I think David Njoku is going to be the number one rookie scoring tight end this year. And in 3 years combined, he's gonna lead all rookie tight ends in scoring. Out of this class, obviously, between him, Engram, and Howard.
Okay.
And do I really want to go further? He's going to be a top four tight end, scoring tight end
in 3 years.
3 years. Yeah.
That is bold to me, but my next hot take will probably prove myself otherwise. Let's talk about yours a little more.
You sure?
Yeah. Because mine's going to blow people's minds, and I can't wait for it. So
I completely agree with this year, Frank. I think he's going to be the leading tight end out of this rookie class for this year. The 3 years, I think Howard's going to pass Brate this year, and it's just going to be all Howard, all systems go for the next two. So I might have a little ground to make up, but I think he can probably do it. So that 3 year window might get closed up on
the
you.
Right. The only reason why I say that is because every rookie quarterback, because I don't know how Kizer is. Some people love him. Some people hate him. So maybe next year they draft another quarterback, right? So every quarterback, rookie quarterback or young quarterback, loves their tight ends, right? So Njoku this year is going to get – and who's he got to contend with? Kenny Britt?
Nobody.
Coleman? And that's it.
They cut Barnage literally right after the draft. Yeah,
exactly. While they were drafting.
Yeah, like
they handed in the card and they're on the phone. They're like, you cut.
They called up Njoku.
Yeah, they got two phones going there.
Exactly.
We're gonna pick
Barnage. We want you to hear
Barnage. Bye.
Njoku.
See you.
Njoku, welcome to the team. Barnage, you still there? Yeah.
They got it mixed up. Like, they're talking to Barnage. Like, hey, David. Yeah. Hey, congratulations. We're gonna pick you with this pick. We really like you as a tight end. Oh, Gary? Sorry, yeah.
We finally got a tight end, David. We had to deal with Gary Barnage the whole time. Wait, who's this? Hello? Sorry, Gary. Oh. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to happen. They're going to have like a little quarterback carousel still going on in 3 years. So,
and looking at the Browns' depth chart here, David Njoku is the number one tight end, followed by Randall Telfer.
Okay.
And then you have J.P. Holtz. And then another rookie or Taylor McNamara, but Seth DeVal would be the next closest guy in my eyes.
Okay.
I mean, oh, look.
I can't hold back anymore. I can't do this because you guys are talking bad about my guy. Deshaun Kizer is going to win Rookie of the Year.
Look at
he's going to win the job day one, and he's going to throw.
Oh, he's coming out, my boy, Cody Kessler.
He's going to throw for about 3,800 yards. He's going to have 23 touchdowns, only 6 picks, but he's also going to have about 6 rushing touchdowns. He's going to win Rookie of the Year because he's going to help the Browns contend in that division and maybe win a wild card spot.
Whoa.
And what? I'm sick and tired of people.
Just with the QB stats.
I'm trying to wave off the heat.
They're building Kizer from all the news to be a starter week one. They are grooming him. Hugh Jackson is spending so much time with Kizer. He's almost not even coaching anybody else.
You got to have a Kizer Soze team name, right? If you draft him.
I actually, in our listener league, I drafted Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kizer, and I put my team name is You Say Deshaun, I Say Deshaun, because they're spelled differently.
I think
you draft first?
I drafted Watson first, and then Kizer later on.
Okay.
Some people don't like Kizer.
That's a little interesting since, you know, Kizer is – I guess it's ADP, obviously.
Welcome to the DHH podcast where Tyler loves Kizer. If nobody knows this now, he loves Kizer. And there was
I know now.
Your mic apparently didn't want to work today, Tyler, because it knew what was coming. It's just
now we know why.
Okay, look, I have a lot of problems with that hot take, but the thing that I have to say at first is okay, so he's winning the job. He's playing all 16 games. Is that what we're saying?
Yep.
So
he's gonna throw it in Njoku.
As a rookie. 16 games, and he's only going to throw 6 interceptions, which is like, I mean, Carson Aaron Rodgers throws about 7 a year.
Those are Carson Wentz numbers, right? Didn't he throw like 6 in like
16?
No. Yeah, 6 and 16.
No, yeah. The thing about that is they're very conservative. They have a great offensive line, which is what Dak had.
Okay, true.
And I think they're going to run the ball with Crowell. It's going to be a lot of play action. Kizer did a lot of that in Notre Dame. Yeah, it was more spread out. But I do think Hugh Jackson is going to put him in a position where he doesn't make mistakes. He's going to build his confidence. Like the first couple of games, you're not going to see anything special. It's going to be maybe a touchdown or two, 200 yards. But Crowell is going to be a beast. And I think Crowell is going to be a top 10 plus running back. This offensive line is legit right now. I would have to say it's top 5. I'd have to say it's top 5. And that is what made Dak good, because Dak could sit back and relax. And Kizer, when he's back and relaxed in Notre Dame, he was magnificent. This guy has all the arm talent. It's only when Kizer felt pressure is when he felt like he needed to get rid of the ball and he made mistakes. So I think the offensive line is actually going to really help Kizer. And I think he's in for a way better year than what people are giving him credit for.
So how many wins do you have the Browns?
I'd have to say 7-9. I think that defense is going to be really good.
I'm rooting for the Browns, so I hope that
I think we I
hope
all
it
are,
comes
right?
to fruition. And I definitely see the upside with Kizer, so I don't hate it from that standpoint. I just didn't necessarily see it happening in year one, because the other major issue I had with that hot take is let my boy Cody Kessler have one more year. Come on, man.
He tried at USC, but he couldn't get a redshirt year.
I like Kessler, so.
He's competent.
Yeah.
That was fiery.
That was fiery. So he's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Right now.
He's going to win Rookie of the Year.
He's going to win Rookie of the Year, and right now Tyler is winning hottest hot take. So
absolutely.
Who's gonna top that one?
Well, you think about it. Those aren't like huge numbers for a quarterback standpoint, but Prescott won Rookie of the Year with kind of similar numbers, and Elliott had a beast of a year. So even if one of these running backs, like Frank has Mixon, I have Cook, if one of those running backs do well and Kizer actually plays like I hope he does,
he's going to win it. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I think saying that they had a chance at a wild card, that might have been a little too.
And then he was,
because I think the Browns are building there, and I hope they do that. But I see that next year or the year after, but it's the Hot Take Show. We're moving up their trajectory. I like it.
All right, Frank, you got something for us?
Yes, I guess I'll stay. I'll go back with the Tampa Bay. I think McNichols is going to end up being the running back one in Tampa Bay. He's going to end up with around 834 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns.
You sure you don't want to make that an odd number? You seem like you wanted to mix it up and really make the yardage a little weird.
I love that, Frank. Yeah, I love McNichols.
That's a good one.
I'm a pseudo Boise State fan. I've been a Boise State fan since like 2005, 2006, you know, back when they had, you know, oh God, Ian something. Ian, damn, it don't matter anymore.
Ian Johnson.
Yeah, Ian Johnson.
Yeah, he had a cup of coffee with the Lions there for like 2 years.
He's the guy that proposed to his cheerleader girlfriend.
Yeah, right after the game. Yeah. He scored the touchdown and ran over his cheerleading girlfriend, proposed.
Man, to this day, that's like the GOAT move of all time still.
Yeah. Yeah. He played for the Vikings for a little bit.
Is it though? Are any of you guys married?
Yeah,
I am.
Right. I'm not. All right, so McNichols. I don't know what I'm talking about.
before that kind of thing, before I got married, I was like, oh man, that's a nice move right there. Now that you're married, like, dude, man,
that is a lot of work. Like, that is a lot of work.
Right? You gotta live up to that now.
So Ben is the only one not married yet. He's like, you know what? That was such a GOAT move. You know, like we're like
in a couple of years. Just wait, Ben.
You gotta live up to that.
Turning around and going the opposite way.
He should have ran to throwing the other deuces. End zone.
He should have been throwing deuces
for Memorial Day weekend, and then that would have been better.
Just getting out of there.
I love it. I love McNichols though. I think he could be the leading rusher on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a lot of mouths to feed in that backfield for sure.
I mean, it's Doug Martin, really. I mean, and I know people are saying in camp, like there's like 2 days of camp or 3 days of camp, and he's looked great. Whatever
they said, that, like 2 years ago too.
Yeah, but
this guy looks. He looks.
You know
great.
What? Adrian
Peterson, he had a bad year last year, so he's due for the good one, right?
Right. But he's,
you know what though? Adrian Peterson's catching passes all of a sudden. So, you know, obviously we can take every training camp report for fact, right?
Of course. Adrian Peterson.
Right. I saw some videos of Adrian Peterson running. And does he look like a dog is running behind him, nipping him in the butt, and he's trying not to get it? Because he's running like chest out now. Like he was a straight up runner, but now he's like bent a little. Yeah, he does not look like he's running right.
I haven't seen those videos, but I just know I started dying laughing when I saw, oh, Adrian Peterson might catch passes. Oh,
yeah.
Man, that's funny.
Did they just take Alvin Kamara, who is fantastic
I'm saying,
at that?
I'm saying.
Bunch of puff pieces.
Yeah, but anyways, So no, I agree with you, Frank, that these puff pieces for Doug Martin, I'm not really buying because I'm not a big Doug Martin fan. So this is a hot take that I can get behind because, yeah, there's a ton of guys there. You got what, Jaquizz Rodgers, who Dirt Cutter just seems to love. Yeah, right. And there's still Charles Sims, who I've liked Charles Sims, but I think last year
he had his chance.
He had his chance. Granted, he got hurt, but then he came back and didn't do much.
Right.
So even though, yeah, there's a lot of guys there, you also have three guys in front of McNichols who don't really excite you. So mm-hmm. I can see it.
Yeah, when you say mouths to feed, I feel like they're just like little baby mouths. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
Tyler's right. It's just this small little baby mouse. That's why they call him the muscle hamster, because he's got a small little hamster mouth.
Just nibbling at it.
They got that little water bottle with the ball in it for him.
Yeah, McNichols is getting him. Just take all of it.
That's it.
There you go.
All right, I got Josh Reynolds. Josh Reynolds will lead the Rams in receiving this year.
Boom. With 125 total receptions, receiving yards.
I was gonna say receiving yards. Receptions. Holy cow!
I don't think they got a true number one there. This kid's got a big body. He's a little light. He needs to get in that weight room a little bit, get up over a 200-pound mark. But I think he could beat. He's not gonna be Michael Thomas because Michael Thomas had guys to take coverage away, and he kind of came out and surprised people. But you know, I think Josh Reynolds could easily lead this team in receiving stats this year.
I counter you, and one of my hot takes is Cooper Kupp is going to be one of the better receivers this year and play the Jameson Crowder role and have about 70 receptions, 900 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
Woo! Well, no, because
we're talking about the Rams here, guys, right?
I was going to say, Tim, I'm confused because earlier in the podcast, you basically said Cooper Kupp was Julio Jones, right? So, oh, wait. Oh, that's right. Julio Jones is terrible. My bad.
Yeah, it's horrible.
They're boom or bust, both of them.
Such a boom bust. I don't understand, Ben.
The same player.
I got to get this through my head. Julio's terrible. Okay, cool, yeah. Cool.
Guys, no, whatever you do, do not draft Julio, especially if we're in the league together. Just sorry.
Yeah, just.
He's 28. He's on the decline.
Foot injuries.
Julio seems like he should be like 38 years old, doesn't he? Like, let's be honest.
He is 38.
Yeah. He feels like.
Yeah.
His foot's 38, apparently. I don't know.
Here, I'm going to throw out my last one. Danelle Pumphrey will be the first NFL player to actually be broken in half on
killed.
A kickoff return. Yeah.
I agree. No. I have that down. I have that down too.
Tim, I have a Danelle Pumphrey hot take too.
Go
all right, the last one. Danelle Pumphrey takes over for Darren Sproles after he gets hurt. Hopefully he doesn't, because I love Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles gets hurt. His career's done. Danelle Pumphrey takes over and becomes a theoretic type player for the Eagles and catches about 75 passes.
I love that. I like that one.
Actually, my money's on he dies on the football field.
That's more. That honestly will probably happen. That's a greater percentage of happening.
Yes,
than
if I'm putting money down, dies. Or
what? Okay, how much does he weigh? Because how much?
174, 175.
How much?
I've heard 126 to 175 pounds.
Did you see the picture of him today? There's a picture of him, and I tweeted it. It looked like somebody brought their kid to work day. It really was like a little kid catching a football.
Well, that's what Darren Sproles looks like.
No, Darren Sproles is diesel.
He is stocky.
He's stocky for his.
He's got good shoulders and a chest. He's got a big, thick thigh on him.
Yeah, obviously.
He's a tiny man, is what he is. He's a very fast tiny man, but he's a tiny man. I'm an Eagles fan, and I was in Philly for the draft pick. I booed so hard.
You guys boo Santa Claus, so
I like it.
Yeah.
I like Danelle Pumphrey, just get out of here.
The thing about Pumphrey is honest to God, honest tape. You would think in college he would have done the same thing. Like, oh, man, he's going down first contact. How this guy plays is beyond me because he breaks so many tackles.
I'll give him that.
So many tackles. He's slippery almost. Like, he rubs himself full of Johnson & Johnson baby oil and he goes out on the field. Because when three people are around it, you shouldn't be able to escape like he does. And there are some plays where because I have a friend that's a huge fan of him, and he's like, you got to watch the Pump. This guy's a guy that's like, no, you got to watch this. Dude, you got to watch this show. And you're going to watch it. Like, there's no getting around it. But he had me watch Danelle Pumphrey tape for the longest time. And I was actually quite numb because there's a lot of plays where you're like, oh, he's down. And all of a sudden, he just comes out of nowhere. And you're like, what? No way.
See, I like Danelle Pumphrey, the football player and the person. I don't want to see him get broken half on my kickoff return.
Really?
But the fact that the Eagles took Danelle Pumphrey when Jeremy McNichols was still on the board killed me.
Right.
I hated it.
Samaje Perine was still on the board too.
Now Perine was gone.
Was he?
The Redskins.
Was Marlon Mack still on the board?
Yeah, he was.
Yep.
I like Marlon Mack. Those Pumphrey hot takes are on complete different ends of the spectrum. I mean, one of them we have dying, but
that's not a hot take. That's a
hot take.
And I like both of them, but I've been disagreeing with Tyler. I have to lean towards his side. I like that because we know Blunt's not catching passes. We know that Carson Wentz is going to chuck it. And Darren Sproles has already said this is his last year, right? So I can see him getting hurt and I'll throw in Pumphrey and he's catching passes like Theo Riddick. I like that one.
Well, we also forgot another hot take where Corey Clement takes that job completely and runs all over 1,000 yards, 20 touchdowns.
I think Blunt's going to beast.
Is this a UDFA? Because I don't even know who Corey Clement is. I'll just be honest.
Yes, he was the running back from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The Eagles picked him up like within hours of the draft ending. Blunt's going to beast out in Philly because – Darren Sproles doesn't do what Blunt does. He's not going to run between the tackles. He's the passing downs back.
Right.
Wendell Smallwood got his opportunity. Get out of here. See you, buddy.
Is Ryan Williams still around?
Smart with that.
He's on the Fantasy Authority podcast now.
Ryan Matthews, I met.
He's gone as soon as he passes the physical.
He's gone. I love Ryan Matthews.
Deuce Staley's the running backs coach. Get him in there. He's put on a couple extra pounds since.
Deuce Staley is the running back coach? Wow.
He's the running backs coach. Now he's gotten a little heavy, but get back in there, Deuce.
Hey, yeah, love Deuce back in the day.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else got any hot takes?
Let me throw one more in. I was going to say Christian McCaffrey, 1,800 total yards, but I'm quickly realizing that's not hot enough. So let me just, you know, call an audible here, try to get a little bit more unique.
That's hot for me because I'm not a McCaffrey believer.
Well, see, I don't think that's hot enough because you already came in and said Cook's going to do it, and I think McCaffrey's going to have a better year. So, but anyways, let me get a little bit more unique here. I'm going to say Alvin Kamara has more catches and receiving yards than Mike Williams.
I like it because
how about that?
Like Kamara.
Yeah, I do too. In New Orleans, like he's one of those guys where a lot of people weren't that interested in because he wasn't a bell cow back, but you can't get caught up in take lock when he not only goes to New Orleans, but Sean Payton trades a second round pick to next year to get up and get him. The opportunity that he has as the pass catching back. This is why I'm laughing about the Adrian Peterson reports about catching passes. Alvin Kamara is going to be that guy. And his upside playing with Drew Brees in that offense is very high. And I think we've thrown the cliche out there a lot this podcast. There's too many mouths to feed. Well, you want to talk about too many mouths to feed. I think that's San Diego. So I like Mike Williams. I'm not one of these guys that's been trashing him, but I also like Keenan Allen. I also like Tyra Williams. Antonio Gates is there for one more year. Hunter Henry, Melvin Gordon can catch passes out of the backfield. So yeah, there's a hot take for you. Alvin Kamara.
There's one thing I like about Kamara the most is he's different from what they've had in their pass catching backs. He's bigger.
Right.
And the thing I like most is Ingram, I don't think will be there next year. I don't think AP will. I do think Kamara will put on at least 5 to 10 pounds of good muscle. And honestly, I could see them transitioning to like, okay, you're a pass catching back. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're every down back. That's how I can see
it's certainly
Kamara.
Possible.
Could have. I don't it's know why they possible. Hate Mark Ingram. I don't, whatever. Let's not. That's
I don't either because I still love Mark Ingram.
I still think he did something to Sean Payton's.
I'm serious. I think you're right.
Listen, the 30 for 30 is going to probably come out in a couple of years. We'll find out what he did.
There's something because he's good when he's on the field.
Oh, I want to come up with something for Matt Breida out there in San Francisco.
I was about to say that was one of my hot takes. Joe Williams will not take over for Carlos Hyde. There's your hot take.
That is a hot take.
What are you talking about? Because everybody, according to Twitter, Joe Williams is the
Christy Michael. Pick. I'm sorry. This is going to be. It says Christy Michael stench all over it. I want nothing to do with Joe Williams. Where he's going? I've seen him go like in the late first, early second round. I'm like, what? Like over legit, in my mind, players. So I just don't. Joe Williams, yes. He went from not being on their board to being on their board, right? Because Shanahan was pounding the table for him.
He's a small dude, so he really has to pound the table for everybody.
Right.
Hear me.
But if every scout, everyone in a 49er scout had him off the board and Lynch didn't want nothing to do with this guy, nobody wanted this guy. Yeah, Shanahan, I doubt – here's another hot take. I doubt Shanahan watched as much tape as the scouting departments or all of them. I'm positive. I'm almost positive.
How could he? He was in the Super Bowl and then he had like a month and a half to get ready. I mean, these scouts have been doing it for 6, 8, 10, 12 months.
Exactly.
Can I tell you why Shanahan likes Joe Williams? Because Joe Williams quit on his football team and Shanahan quit on the fucking
halftime. Oh, I love that. I love that.
That's
a connection right there.
The redemption
that's still reported.
You might have just changed my mind, bro.
That's the part he's reporting right there. They both quit. No, okay, but real quick, while we're on the subject, he was off the board because this is John Lynch. We know who John Lynch was as a player. He obviously doesn't want anybody that could even remotely not love football. So I think coming in as his – and look, I'm guessing, but coming in as his first year as the GM.
He wanted to set a standard.
Yeah, he's coming off the board because there's no way – I'm not risking drafting any players like that my first year. I already have to be perfect because I don't have experience. And if you go back and you look at the history, yes, it was a little bit weird that Joe Williams did this out of nowhere when I believe it was his sister died, I think, like 10 years earlier. But I don't decide how people get to grieve. Okay, that's me personally.
Yeah, there's like five stages, and who knows how long those stages last.
Yeah, man, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Apparently, he felt guilty because he was in the room or something. I've never had to deal with that, so I'm not going to sit here and talk to him. And look, Kyle Shanahan wanted him. To me, that does say something. I've never been a Carlos Hyde fan, so it's not so much as I'm sitting here saying, yeah, Joe Williams is definitely taking the job. For me, it's just – I want nothing to do with Carlos Hyde, because the percentage that he does lose the job where you have to get him in drafts, even in dynasty drafts, still is too high for my liking personally. But yeah, I do agree with you, Frank, that at this point, what you just said shouldn't make, but it is. and that's the crazy part about it.
Yeah. I like Carlos Hyde. I think Carlos Hyde is going to blow up this year.
Yeah. Nice. On the Eagles.
Okay. But, but the thing about blowing up is I think at least Joe Williams is going to see playing time. And you saw Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman both beast out. But you're looking at one of the top 10 scoring offenses ever. And that's why they both were able to beast out. And the 49ers aren't going to be good. And I know we all love Kyle Shanahan, but it's going to take some time. I mean, look at what the Falcons did in year one with Kyle Shanahan in 2015. They weren't very good. And so if we're talking about Carlos Hyde being in somewhat of a timeshare, whether it's 70-30, 80-20, whatever it is, and he's on a bad team that's going to be losing a lot, and he's not the greatest pass catcher in the world, I just personally can't get that excited about it.
I mean, last year he almost broke 1,000 yards, and he was injured three or four games of it. And it was a horrible
very good
team.
Last year.
So maybe this is better off. Maybe he doesn't need – maybe he needs to be spelled to you know, last in the NFL. Maybe
that's a good point. Yeah.
He can't see the 30, whatever.
And going to with that point, I'll be honest, I didn't watch any Joe Williams tape till he got drafted, and it kind of opened my eyes. I'm like, oh, okay. I watched the tape. First player that came to my mind was Tevin Coleman. I'm like, he runs exactly like Tevin Coleman.
And that's what they like. They loved him.
Yep.
Perfect. It's a perfect. And everybody forgets that Shanahan drafted Tevin Coleman.
Yep.
He was Shanahan's guy. So maybe he's got just this thing for Tevin Coleman. He tried trading for Coleman. He's like, oh, I miss you. Come back.
Come back. Come to me.
But yeah.
And then what happened? And Freeman still, you know, won out.
That's true. So maybe Matt Breida could do well.
Okay. Well, no, because we kind of talked about this with some of the Washington guys, and I kind of, just kind of brushed it off. So maybe that's what a lot of people are doing here. But I'm also taking into consideration just a little bit the fact that they brought in Kyle Juszczyk, they signed Tim Hightower, and they traded for, I should know this because he was on the
Capri Bibbs.
They traded for Capri Bibbs on draft night. And so I'm just looking at all of these moves on top of all of those plus Joe Williams, and I'm like, does Kyle Shanahan does he just not like Carlos Hyde? Like, it scares me. It scares me.
I think Carlos Hyde runs more of a power game.
Yeah. These aren't Carlos Hyde running backs.
The thing about Capri Bibbs is he should actually be a player people are looking at, because he played very well and actually almost took CJ Anderson's job when Anderson was hurt. Like, people forget about that. Remember, I forgot what game it was or what week, but he went
the touchdown against the Raiders.
And then, like, they were going to get more touches, and then had season-ending injury.
Yeah, I think he got hurt himself, right?
Yep.
Before he got hurt, you're right. He was showing flashes for sure.
Yeah, and he's a very good player to keep your eye on. I mean, I think who's guy on with on the Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund Bloom loved Capri Bibbs. So
really, I remember Ben Gretsch talking him up after CJ Anderson got hurt.
Yeah, and
so there's some people out there that like him.
Yeah, and there's a lot of big names that like him. And of course, you know, we're just tiny gnats, and we have to latch on to what other people say.
Right.
So.
Screw that. I think by the time the draft comes, I think we're getting like so cute. Like, I guarantee you there's going to be an undrafted free agent that has one good practice, either a running back. Oh, you watch out for this guy. Like
Corey Clement.
I'm telling you, Corey Clement's got, you know, blah, 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 this BMI and blah, 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 and whatever. And watch. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Let me just look through this. You guys are going to be like, I'm telling you, Tariq Cohen could take over.
You know, like, for Jordan Howard.
Yeah, for Jordan Howard. Like, this is how we get so bored. Or this Khalafani Muhammad in Tennessee. Yeah. This running back. I'm telling you, watch out for this guy. Like,
he's showing deep.
Yeah, and the thing is Frank, I have to ask, in New York, have you actually heard anything about Wayne Gallman? Because
I haven't.
Okay. Because I am just, I'm not a fan, and I know you are growing on him.
Like, I was growing. It's just because it's, you know, I actually like Paul Perkins. I know you guys hate Paul Perkins.
No. I was an original Paul Perkins lover.
You guys stop.
Tyler's hating.
No, yeah. this is going to turn into a pissing competition because in January for the Dynasty Nerds, my first ever too early rookie mock, I had Paul Perkins at 9. In the first round, because I saw a lot of Devonta Freeman in him.
Yes,
Devonta Freeman, Florida State. Like Freeman, like I said in the last pod, Freeman or on the Aussie guys that I was just on, Freeman changed himself completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like Freeman became a completely different player. And if Perkins can take that step, you never know because
he's going to get the chance. I think they're going to give him the chance this year.
Yeah, and it's almost the same story. Perkins showed flashes but didn't show well enough. He could come in this year and just be a different player. So yeah,
I hope so. Definitely
a player to watch out for. And Wayne Gallman, man, I love you, Al, but stop trying to make him a thing.
I never thought I'd be in the minority not being a Paul Perkins fan. However, the opportunity is there, and unlike you have to spend like a fourth round pick on Carlos Hyde, you can get Paul Perkins later.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's a guy based on the opportunity that should be coming to him. I will draft even though I don't like him because
just in case.
Just in case, because you can get him at a value.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're going to draft a guy if next year.
Absolutely.
Like they'll keep taking shots in the fourth or third round, and I feel like they'll hit on somebody.
I just wanted to say thanks to Ben because I was literally having a conversation with a guy I'm in a league with the other day, and he was just asking about Paul Perkins, and I just, is he or is he not a starting NFL running back? I'm like, is he or yes or no? Is he or is he not a starting NFL? Yes, he's a starting NFL running back. Yeah. He is a starting running back for his NFL team. He's going to get touches. If for nothing else, if he averages 3 yards a carry, he's going to amass a yardage total and he will get touchdowns. It's going to happen.
Yep. I know.
Vereen's the one I want in that whole backfield, if we're being honest.
I like Shane Vereen.
Vereen's the one I want.
Me too. I'm actually shooting for Vereen a lot.
All right. Does anybody else have any other hot takes? We'll even open it up to veterans, anybody.
Oh, even veterans. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we did rookies this whole time. Let's see if anybody's got a veteran hot take. All right,
so there was a fire hot take. Somebody put out their list of, and I think Pierre Garçon. What is it? Anthony Amico, right?
Oh, Amico had him 6 in his projections.
And his Rotoviz. And he said Pierre Garçon in, like, ahead of AJ Green. And it's balls, okay? Can we just say that's a hot take?
He could have 150 targets coming his way.
He could, right? And I'm like, all right, yes, it's hot take. In Dynasty, that's not what you want. But if you're just talking about projections and points scored,
mm-hmm.
Could Pierre Garçon in a Kyle Shanahan offense be a top 12 wide receiver, a wide receiver one?
Well, that's the thing that cracks me up. People getting upset about that. He's not subjectively doing that. He did his projections, and that's what it spit out.
Right. Okay, it could be wrong, but you know, like, but that was the only really, that was the only one that came out, and I kind of like, all right, so not 6, but maybe wide receiver 4-13 on the brink of being a wide receiver 1. Doesn't shock me.
Here's one. He's a forgotten man in Dynasty because I actually made a trade. Evan Engram, who a guy needed a tight end, and all these news boards were coming out. I actually traded Evan Engram for Kareem Hunt. And Pierre Garçon.
Nice. Look at Pierre Garçon's 2013 stats when he played under Shanahan. 181 targets, 1,300 yards.
Yep. He knows
most catches in the league that year, I believe.
And there was a better receiving core around him in Washington then than there is in San Francisco now.
I love it.
I made a mistake of sleeping on Pierre Garçon, and he ended up like killing me in the playoffs, and I'm like, or in a game that I needed, I'm like, this son of a bitch. I slept on him, and I'm not going to do it again. So yeah. I'm a Garçon fan.
I agree with you. I've slept on him in the past, and even last year he had quietly a very good season. Mm-hmm. His ADP makes no sense. Mike Wallace's ADP makes no sense. Here's a couple for you. Jack Doyle, top 5 tight end. Willie Snead, top 15 wide receiver in PPR leagues. Mike Wallace and Pierre Garçon, top 30 guys. I could see Ted Ginn being a top 30 guy. You can get him at like wide receiver 60.
Mohamed Sanu or Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah, yeah. They're obviously wide receiver like one. Five guys himself. Yeah.
All right, guys. That was a lot of fun. We got a lot of hot takes out. Best of luck to Danelle Pumphrey. I hope you honestly don't get split in half, buddy.
After that, we're not rooting for death.
We hope for your safety. We're not rooting for it.
Tim's an Eagles fan, so he could actually be hoping.
If this actually happens and you guys drag me down, no, I'm just kidding.
First, I'll feel terrible for Pumphrey.
Eagles fans boo if they win the lottery. Oh, we won the lottery. Oh, boo.
Because it wasn't $5 million.
It's only $5 million. I wish it was like 130 million.
It's been like 45 million. That's crap. Anyways, guys, that was a ton of fun. Ben, Frank, thank you guys so much for coming on. Frank, tell everybody where they can follow you, find you, all that good stuff.
Yes. Thanks for having me on, guys. At Dynasty Frank, you can find me over at the Fantasy Authority, thefantasyauthority.com. You can hear me on the Bull Rush whenever we do that every other week. And so thanks for having me on, fellas.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Bull Rush, great podcast, by the way. If you don't subscribe, go over and check that out.
Yeah, a lot of fun. You have to deal with that Minnesotan Scott Fish. we're actually trying to get rid of him up here in Minnesota. We're
trying to trade him to like Nebraska or something.
No, I love Scott. He does great work for the community.
Yeah, seriously. Fantasycares.net. Go check that out too.
Yep.
Sir. Ben, what about you, man?
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on. I had a blast today. You can find me on Twitter at BenCumminsFF. Obviously, we already talked about the Fantasy Authority podcast and then Fantasy Footballers, Two Quarterbacks, and Roto Underworld. I write a little bit for all three of those.
Good stuff.
All right. Before we get out of here, DynastyHappyHour.com. Go over there, check out all the articles. The writers are doing great stuff. The rankings are up. All the different podcasts. I mean, you don't have to just listen to Tyler, Kelly, and me. There are a lot of voices to hear over there on that website. Go check it out. Great website. Great content. Love it a lot. You guys will too. Tyler, you got anything else, bud?
No, just give us some reviews. We love iTunes reviews, any type of review. I mean, just hit us up on Twitter and say, you suck. I mean, that's a review kind of. I mean, but no. We
go to iTunes right now.
Can you Yelp a podcast?
Yeah, Yelp. That'd be awesome. We should start that. Yelp.
Yelping a podcast.
But no, iTunes reviews help out more than you guys think. Start getting on those. I know you guys hit them hard when we had, of course, t-shirt giveaways. But, I mean, we don't need to give you stuff to review. Yeah. So that's always a good thing.
Do it out of kindness of your heart and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And before we get off, I want to say a happy Memorial Day and thank you to anyone who's ever served and especially those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice because that's what this weekend's about and today and that extra day you get off. So thank you guys so much.
You too, Tim.
Yes.
Hey, I didn't. I paid absolutely zero. I paid absolutely zero. So today is not about me whatsoever. So I hope everybody enjoys the extra day off. Please take a second to remember what it's actually about. We've been the Dynasty Happy Hour. Until next time, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth. At Dynasty Kelly App, at Tim Dynasty FF, and most importantly, at Dynasty HH Pod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure to check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.